Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. As you see in the bulletin, we are still collecting items for the children's home. Brother Tim informed me that if you have not brought them, if you can get them here by Wednesday night, he will deliver them to the associational office Thursday morning. So please keep that in prayer. And if you have not, there's a box in the back. You can drop it off down between now and Wednesday. And items that can be donated are laundry detergent, tomato sauce, tomato paste, scalloped potatoes, mashed potatoes, ranch dressing, gift cards from Walmart. Please remember no evening service tonight or today. Don't forget Thursday, May the 28th at 7 p.m. is our men standing in the gap meeting. Invite all the men and boys to come to that and share that time of fellowship and devotion and all with us. Sunday, May the 31st, we will the Lord's Supper during the morning service and fellowship meal after the morning service. And that night, the evening service is always on Fifth Sunday. We have our evening services in the original church. We have the baby bottle boomerang campaign. The information's on the back wall there. May the 10th through the 21st. That is for first options, right? Pregnancy center. So take a bottle. The bottles are in the back. Fill it with loose change, cash, or check. And return the first option or by June the 21st. So take a bottle as you leave. If we run out of bottles, I'm sure we can get more. And please keep that ministry. That's a very important ministry that we always support. Any other announcements? None. Had 24 in Sunday school this morning. If you are not attending Sunday school, we have classes for all age. We have a real good time in all the classes, teaching and discussing God's word each and every Sunday morning. If you were in Sunday school and adults, we know it's on Matthew chapter 24 today. About being alert and for Jesus' return. And I just want to share this. I shared it in Sunday school, but I found a quote this last week as I studied in Sunday school. And it's attributed to an old Southern preacher, an anonymous preacher. I don't have his name or anything like that. But listen to what he said one time. He said, "It's time for our church to wake up and sing up, preach up, and pray up, and never give up or let up or back up or shut up until the church is filled up or we go up." Amen. Amen to that. Any birthdays? I know Miss Barbara, Donner's daughter. I checked Barbara with Larry before I announced it to make sure everything was okay. But happy Mother's Day, but it is her birthday also, so we want to sing happy birthday to her. Anyone else? Any other birthdays? If not, Harold, will you come and lead us?
Yeah, let's all sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
As we open up our worship service, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come today, Lord, just thanking you once again for the opportunity to be here and worship our risen Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all the mothers that are here today, Lord. And Lord, we just know how precious they are, Lord. And Lord, how much they mean to each of our lives, Lord, for the many that have gone on to be with the Lord, but many that are here today, Lord. And we do just thank you for them. Lord, but I do just want to lift up Brother Tim to you today, Lord. I want to lift up Harold and Sissy as they lead us in our singing and our praising of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. But Lord, I want to lift him up today, Lord, as he stands before us, Lord, and proclaims God's word this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come with a spirit of worship today, Lord, and we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us during this service, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we know, Lord, that you are our Lord, and for any that may not, that this would be the day, Lord, that they would come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here. Get all the stuff out of your way.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing, God Give Us Christian Homes. If you're looking in the hymnal, it'll be 504.
God give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is love and God, homes where the Master will is sung, homes where with beauty and love is born. God give us Christian homes.
Yeah.
Response as well. Bible today. I do want to start off this morning wishing all mothers a happy Mother's Day, and you know that you all are appreciated, and probably not near as much as we should, but God has given us mothers, because if He hadn't, none of us would be here, amen? But I do want to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day. I've asked Chrissy and Ryan Bubby, if y'all come up here for just a moment. I'm going to ask all the ladies to stand up, if you will, this morning. We're going to give you a gift, and as you get the gift, if you'll just sit down. But let men, the rest of y'all stand here. Y'all just grab a handful and go down through there. If one of y'all want to carry the basket, the others can go through and get one out. Y'all have to get 2 minutes. You don't have to hear them all at once. You got to hear them. Let's give them a round of applause, ladies. Thank you. We want to give all the ladies a gift, so guys, make sure we pass them out to all the ladies out of here, okay? Transition to go from thanking mothers and wishing you a happy Mother's Day. But as I was preparing this week, I wanted to kind of step away from Joshua today for a Mother's Day message. But then the Lord laid on my heart that what we find in Joshua chapter 23 applies to every one of us, but especially, I believe, to moms. And so, I'm not being sexist or anything, but moms have a huge impact in the home. And as we'll see, Joshua, as he gets to the end of his life, wants to leave a continuing legacy. He wants to, as many mothers do and fathers should do, we want our children to be better off than we were. We want them not to make the same mistakes we've made in life. And so kids that are in here, young adults, when moms and dads tell you something, it's usually not to hurt you. It is to make you better. It is to, and hopefully if you have Christian parents, it is to grow you in your faith, to not make mistakes they made, but to live for the Lord. And that's exactly what Joshua does today. But I thought about this. Have you ever known somebody that knew they were going to die within a short amount of time? Now, we all know we're going to die, right? That was a given. But they had just a short time left to live. And they took that time to go around and apologize to everyone they had done wrong. Mm-hmm. Have you ever known anybody like that? I've known of a few that did that. Sometimes we don't know when it's our time to go, and other times we do. And we know that time is coming. And so we try to go around and make things right with those that we have done wrong. But I want to personalize this for us this morning. What if you knew, for whatever reason, you only had a few days left to live? What would you do? What would you say? What would you tell those that you were leaving behind? Would you, some people say, well, I'm just going to go have a party and be done with it. You know, others might say, listen, I've done a lot of things wrong in my life and I want to make them right. Others of us would say, listen, kids, come here. I want to give you all the best advice I can give you because this is my last chance. Well, that's kind of what is happening here. And so we're going to go ahead and read Joshua chapter 23, 16 verses on, but bear with us as we read through. It says, now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all the enemies around about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes. From the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God had promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the laws of Moses, or law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves, that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and they bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, all this morning, once again, we are thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for godly men and women who have led us in your paths. Lord, to show us that your way is the right way. And when we don't do things your way, Lord, we can expect trouble in our lives. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you would lead us and guide us as we cover your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of it, but also pray, Lord, that you would bless the hearing of it. Lord, that we would take it into our ears, into our minds, into our hearts. And then, Lord, I pray that it would show up in our actions and what we do. How we love you and how we love others. Lord, let your word speak to us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we've already seen, we see that Joshua, he knows his time is at hand. He knows that he didn't know it was that day, because he said, this day I go the way of all the earth. He knew that this day he was going to die. And so what does he do? He doesn't waste it. He calls all of Israel together. In verse 1 through 5, he calls them all together. And he, not just the people, but the leaders of the nation, the judges, the elders, he calls everybody together. Probably Caleb was there. Probably Phinehas, the son of the high priest. He probably had them all together. This was probably a solemn occasion, because these people have known Joshua forever, right? They've known him. He was a man who was a servant of Moses, right? He was the man that helped lead when Moses died. He was the one who walked with them and led them. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But he wanted to serve God and be faithful to God. And so here he is. Let's just say he's on his deathbed. And he calls everybody together and he said, listen, I don't want you to go backwards, right? Because as a parent, you want your kids to be successful. Amen. We've tried to raise them that way. We want them to be successful. We want them to move forward, not to go backwards. That's what we've taught them to do. When a mama bird hatches them eggs in her nest, she doesn't want to keep them there the rest of her life, right? She raises them up. She teaches them. And pretty soon, what does she want them to do? Fly, right? Fly to be able to take care of them. And so Joshua's basically doing the same thing. He's been like a father figure to the whole nation. They've looked up to him. They've revered him. And so he's bringing them together. And he wants to challenge them. And I think there's five challenges that we find in our passage this morning. And number one is that we're to be faithful. They are to be faithful stewards of what God has given them. Can I tell you, whether you got a little bit or whether you got a lot, guess who gave it to you? God did. Okay? And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. You and I are to be found faithful to God. Faithful in your marriage, faithful in your work, right? Not round the clock. When I worked at the sawmill, we used to have one of the old times called young lights the other day. I don't know. We'd punch in, and the guys, they'd be huddled up around the time clock, and they'd be watching, and when it hit, like 4:08, you're supposed to get off at 4. If you wait till 4:08, guess what? Click that and you get paid for an extra 7 minutes. But if you clocked out at 4:07, you lost 7 minutes, right? And so we're to be faithful. We're to be faithful in our relationships. We're definitely supposed to be faithful to God. Joshua wants them to remain faithful to God. But how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we remain faithful to God? Joshua tells them in the first 5 verses of chapter 23, he tells them to remember. You say, well, what are we to remember? Well, he tells you, he said, listen, to remember all that God has done. Nobody needed to tell the nation of Israel what God had done for them, right? They had been firsthand witnesses of all that God had done. Now, all the ones that came out of Egypt, other than Caleb and Joshua, they perished in the wilderness. But everybody that was 20 years of age and younger has now moved forward, but they knew of what happened back then. And they've seen what God did to Egypt. They've seen what God did bringing them across the Red Sea. They saw how God had led them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They'd seen that. They'd seen the destruction of Jericho. They'd seen the battle of Ai. That all these things, time and time again, they had been firsthand witnesses of. They knew the mighty hand of God. And the reality is, you say, well, that's Israel. Well, let's personalize it this morning. Where would you be today if it had not been for God? Amen. Where would you be without His grace, His mercy, His love, His care, His provision in your life? Where would you be? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. And neither would you. It is God's grace that has brought us through the good, the bad, the ugly. And He's bringing us to the place where we are to be faithful to Him. We're to be faithful to Him. As mothers, you are to be faithful to your families. As husbands, we are to be faithful to our families. But we also realize that with God and remembering how He worked in the past, it helps us to trust Him in the present and in the future, because we realize that if God has always been faithful, He's never going to fail us. He's always been faithful, and if we trusted Him yesterday, we can trust Him today, and we can trust Him tomorrow. He is unchangeable. He is immutable. As Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to worry about God walking out on you. He is faithful. And that's the kind of families we need, mothers and fathers. We need faithful families. But they need to be faithful to God first. They need to be faithful to God first. You can't teach your children to be faithful to God if you're not faithful yourself. Amen? It doesn't work that way, because there's an old saying, it didn't come from the Bible, but it says children learn what they hear. Children learn what they live. But now, hold on, children, because I'm not giving you an out. Just because your mom and daddy are a certain way, you don't have to choose to be their way. If they weren't a Christian, you can choose to be a Christian. Amen? If they weren't the best parent, you can choose to be the best parent. It's a choice. It's not the end. It's only the beginning. Second challenge that Joshua gives to the people is found in verses 6 and 7. This is what he says in verse 6. He says, therefore be courageous. Be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations who remain among you. Now let's stop right there. Joshua says to remember all that God has done for you. Right. Remember the faithfulness of God. Be faithful to God. Okay? But then he says to be very courageous. What does it mean to be courageous? Now, I know you say, well, this means to be brave and not be afraid. But in biblical terms, it's more than that, because it means to not only be brave and not be afraid, but it means to do so by faith. To do so by faith. Not just to drift through life, but base your life on faith. And we'll look at that more in just a moment. So it says, be very courageous and do. You can change that word do for obey. Obey the commandments of the Lord. Obey the commandments of Moses. Why does it say Moses? Because God's the one who gave Moses the law, right? So when you obey what Moses told you to do, you're obeying God, right? So the idea here is to be very courageous, to stand firm, to trust, to obey, to do all that is written. Even today in the New Testament time, we're to not only be hearers of the word, but it does not do you any good to know the whole Bible if you don't believe it or do anything. You're going to bust hell out of it. Amen. The truth is, we are to know what the Word of God says, to know the truth, and then to do the truth. So Moses, or Joshua, tells the people, listen, I want you to be successful. You're now in the land. You've got your inheritance. God's done everything He said He was going to do for you. You've got it. You've got the full picture. You've got these blessings that God has given to you. Now remember what God has done. Because when we forget, what's the end result? We're bound to repeat it again, right? They're to remember all that God has done for them. We're to remember all that God has done for us. Because when we don't, we begin to drift away from God. We need to remember, but then we not only need to remember, we need to do. And He didn't say to give up. He didn't say there was a finish line where you just do it this long or this far and then you give up and quit. No, this was something. If they were going to continue to be successful, to continue to have the blessings of God, then they must continue moving forward by remembering God and by obeying God. But that leads us to another thought. I heard of a pianist, Joanne did great a while ago, but I heard this, and they said, listen, that they were asking about, you know, how he's so good, and he said, listen, he says like this, I practice every day. He said, if I don't practice one day, nobody knows it. He said, if I don't practice 2 days, I know. And if I don't practice 3 days, everybody knows. So think about that biblically. We say we're students of the Bible, and don't raise your hands. I'm going to ask a couple questions. Don't raise your hand. God knows the answer, and you know the answer. How many of us read the Bible every single day? Answer out loud. You know the answer, right? How many of us pray every day? Now here's the flip side of this, and this is one's going to step on all of our toes. If we read the Bible, we want to know what God's telling us, right? That's good. And if we pray, that means we're wanting to know God's will, and we're pouring out our shares, our cares, our burdens at His feet. But here's the thing. If we pray and we don't read, that means we want God to know what we want Him to know, but we don't want to know what He's trying to tell us. Can I get amen? In other words, that's like, it's like going up to McDonald's and ordering food and get to the window and you don't get anything. They don't tell you nothing. They don't serve you nothing because you told them what you wanted, but they didn't respond. It's the same way. Sometimes we get so focused on wanting to tell God, and there's no problem with that. It's good to tell God your problems, your needs, your wants, your desires, all those things. But if we're not waiting and spending time reading His Word, that means it's a one-sided relationship, right? How many marriages fail because of a one-sided relationship? See what I mean? God wants us to talk to Him, but He also wrote this whole Bible to talk to us. So I don't know where to start. Start anywhere. Start reading in the book of John, the Gospel of John. That's what I'll tell you, but read the Gospel of John. Find out how much God loves you and respond to that. Joshua wants them to obey. He wants them to know who they are and what God has done for them. But then He also wants them to do what God has told them to do, because if they don't, if they don't do what God's told them to do, then there was a problem. There was a lot of pagans that were still left in the land. Amen? Heathens. Unbelievers. And the problem here was that God had given them the land, but their duty was to finish driving out the heathens, to get rid of them. And He talks about here that, you know, they're to be not to intermarry. And we'll talk more about this in just a minute, but the point here is that it's with a believer and an unbeliever. Because the danger was when you mix an unbeliever with a believer, what normally happens 90-something% of the time? The unbeliever will lead the believer away. They'll lead them astray. And that's exactly what God wanted. You know, God told Moses, don't mix believers and unbelievers. And that's true today too. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? They don't mix, right? They don't mix. There was a danger. And Joshua warned that these are going to be traps. They're going to be snares for you. They're going to be thorns on your sides. It's going to lead you astray. It's going to lead you away from God. Don't do that. Don't go there. Come back to that thought in a moment, but the third challenge that Joshua gave them was to hold fast to God. In Joshua chapter 23, verses 8 through 10, Joshua tells them these words. I'm going to give you the word that the King James Version uses. But Joshua tells them to hold fast to God. Hold fast. That's the King James. The King James Version says to cleave. The only other time it's used like this is when in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, right? And the husband, Adam, was to cleave to his wife. That same message is true today for us. And Joshua was telling the nation of Israel, hey, you have got to hold fast to God. You have got to cling to God. You've got to cleave to Him. Hold fast to Him. Because if our mind is not set on God, it is set on the things of this world, and the things of this world are going to lead us astray. You can't stand on the fence posts. Well, maybe if it's this big and this big, but if this one's a little old 2.5-3-inch fence post, and sooner or later you can stand there all you want to, sooner or later, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall. We're to cleave to God means to be diligent, means to be persistent, means to be committed and hold fast like the New King James. Is like being the anchor, an anchor that is set in stone, an anchor that is set in heaven. We are to cleave to him. And I thought about Hebrews 6:19. Jesus is the anchor of our soul. He is both sure and steadfast. Amen? He's never going to let go. When we anchor our soul to him, we have eternal security. And Joshua was telling the nation of Israel, you have got to hold fast to God. Hold on to him. Cleave to him because he is your very life. Don't let go. And the good thing about cleaving to God, holding fast to God, is that they would realize that God was never going to leave them nor forsake them. Amen? That they would realize that God was still there with them. God was still leading them. He was still protecting them. And as long as they held on to God and did what was right, that God was going to continue to give them success and driving out the inhabitants of the land, and God was going to bless them. But there was another thing that they needed to do, and this is the fourth challenge that Joshua gave them. In verses 11 through 13, Joshua says in verse 11, he says, therefore, take careful heed to yourselves. Can I tell you, it is not your pastor's responsibility to make you love God. Can I even do that? It is an individual commitment for you to love God. I can't make you do it. Your spouse can't make you do it. Your children can't make you do it. Your mom and dad can't make you do it. It's individual. It is personal. And Joshua says, take careful heed to yourself. Okay? That you do what? That you love the Lord your God. Joshua said, listen, all these things that God's been teaching, that I'm leaving you with today, it is to love. To love the Lord your God. Love him. Because if you don't love him, you're not going to remember what he did. If you don't love him, you're not going to obey what he says to you. If you don't love him, you're not going to hold fast to him. You're not going to cleave to him. You've got to love him. And as the Bible is clear from Exodus all the way through the end, we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? We are to love God first and foremost with everything we are and everything we have because God has loved us that much. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are to love God above anything and everything else. But here's the problem. Most of us want a Savior, but we don't want a relationship. Can I get amen? Amen. We want the benefits without the responsibilities. We want the blessings without obedience. Joshua is saying, listen, folks, I want you to be successful. I want God's best for you. I want you to be successful in the land that God's given to you. But you've got to love God first. You can't be unequally yoked together because, as we kind of talked about Sunday school this morning, you can't serve two masters. Amen? you either love one, and if you love one, then you hate the other and despise it. You can't do both. And so God has to be front and center. He has to have preeminence in our life. He's first place, not second place, not last place, not just when we feel like going to church. Amen? God wants a personal relationship with you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And the only thing we can do is say, God, here I am. There's nothing I can do, nothing I can give. Lord, I accept Your grace. I accept Your gift of love, Your gift of mercy. But God, help me to live for You. Help me to walk in Your ways. Help me to obey Your commandments. Help me to do those things, Lord, that You have asked me to do and told me to do. Love God. Joshua said, be careful. Be careful to yourselves individually. Why? Why was this important? I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I was at a church one time and preached a message on the blessings and cursings of God. I won't call his name, but there was this preacher that used to be on TV on Sunday mornings. He was real handsome, black hair, shiny white teeth, and a big smile. Y'all, I don't know who I'm talking about. But they watched this preacher before to come to church. So when I started preaching on the blessings of God, she came by the house and she was pretty upset. I just don't believe that. It's in the Bible. We read it. I just don't believe that. So, well, you can rip the page out, I guess, but it's there, still in my Bible. And anyhow, Joshua was saying, listen, folks, I want you to be successful. I want you to do better than we did. I want you to make mistakes that we made. I want you to walk with God. I want you to do what He wants. I want you to be blessed. But the fifth challenge that Joshua gives them is a challenge we probably don't want to hear this morning. And Joshua's saying, listen, if you are obedient to God, blessings are going to follow you. Okay? But if you disobey God and you go after the gods of the pagans, the false gods, and you worship their gods and you bow down to their gods, then you can know for certain God is going to cut you off, cut you out of the land that He has blessed you with. And so many times we wonder what in the world's wrong with our lives when we ain't giving God first place, and we wonder why everything's falling apart. Hello? You don't believe me, do you? All right, we'll show it to you. This one says, verse, I can read the number here. Verse 13. Well, now let's go back up to verse 12 if we can. In chapter 23. This one says, or else, if you indeed go back and cling to the remnant of these nations that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Joshua said, listen, God gave you this land. He can take it from you too. You walk in the ways of God, there are blessings. If you want to reject Him and turn to the ways of the pagans that God's already proved, that they worship a false god because He's already destroyed them, right? He's already defeated them. Why would you want to turn back to them? This is what he said. Read on down verse 14. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Let's read on. Therefore, verse 15. It shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Mother's Day. Thank God for mothers. I believe most mothers want their children to be successful. I believe most mothers want their homes to be successful. The greatest success for your home, for your marriage, for your children is not a fat bank account. It's not a big house. It is a daily walk. It's leaving them successful. Joshua led them. He didn't just tell them what to do. He lived it out. Amen. He lived it out. And so the people were willing to listen to him and hear him. And as he's telling them it, you know, hear me, he's saying, I want you to be successful. I don't want God, after all that we've been through, after all that God has proved to us, I don't want to get to the point where God cuts us off and takes this land from us. He wants them to be successful. Can I tell you this morning, you can't have real success in your life if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're fighting losing battle. But God doesn't want you to lose, amen? God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, for all that to come to faith in Christ. That's what God wants. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to realize that there is a prize at the end. There is heaven for us to gain. But I believe God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to believe in him. He wants us to accept him. He wants us to trust him, to walk each and every day his ways, to realize that yeah, we can't lose our salvation as believers, but at the same time, we sure can miss out on a lot of blessings. We wonder why our lives are falling apart sometimes. Maybe we need to turn back to him, put him back in first place. What about us today? Moms. I'm not going to leave out the dads either. According to the way I read the Bible, the man is supposed to be the spiritual head of the house. Amen? Come on. Mighty quiet in here. Maybe all of us need to say, God, forgive me for not doing things your way. Forgive me for not leading in a way that leads others to you. Maybe we need to say, Lord, I recommit myself to being faithful because I haven't been faithful. Maybe we need to recommit to being obedient. Maybe we need to commit to claim holding fast to God and not letting go, realizing that he is the true anchor of our soul. What about you today? Mother's Day. Are we moms, dads, kids, teenagers? Are we men faithful to God? If not, why not? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we are thankful to you, Lord, that you have provided everything necessary, Lord, for us to be successful, not in the world's eyes, but in yours. But Lord, Joshua has encouraged us, Lord, to be faithful to you. But to do so, Lord, we need to remember and obey and hold fast and to cling to you. Lord, realizing that there are blessings and there are curses, Lord, not voodoo, but just you, simply you taking your hand of protection off of us, allowing the enemy to have dominion and control over us. Lord, you want us to be victors. Apostle Paul said, we are more than conquerors. Lord, we are only strong enough because of you, because of what you do in us and through us. But Lord, we do need to hold on to you. Lord, if someone is here today who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day, Lord, that they would simply turn to you by faith, in faith, trusting what you have done for them on Calvary. You died on the cross for their sins, and you rose again the third day victorious, defeating sin and death. But Lord, we also realize that many here today are saved. They have a relationship with you, but maybe they're just not being faithful. Lord, whatever you have spoken to them about, Lord, I pray that we would all start off today by being obedient to respond to you, to do your will. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.